الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى الحمد لله منشئ الخالق العدل ثم اصطفى المعرفة الثابت القدر لا يصلي وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما ابدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاه أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاه والأثم روح الفدا لقبل المتساكل فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء وقال تبارك وتعالى ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بطغواها صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before carrying on with our lecture proper, we make muzakara, discuss one sunnah of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the hope and with the dua that all the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can come alive in our lives and in the lives of the whole Ummah. This is what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala loves tremendously, that even the love of Allah, Allah made it dependent. Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you want the love of Allah, you claim the love of Allah, then the proof of it is the way to get it, فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Follow in the way of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is the path if we will follow. Allah declares, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah will love you. And once you have the love of Allah, Urdu poet says, Ek tu mera, to har shay meri. If you are mine, my Allah, you love me, everything is mine. Ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. And if you are not mine, then I've got nothing, I'm a lost case completely. So in order to find that love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the easy method of it is following the practical, simple, most beneficial way of life of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi, a great wali of Allah, a great alim of his time, he gives a beautiful example and he says, So to say, the thorns under the rose complain to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, you made us thorns. And nobody wants thorns in his garden. So when the gardener will come, garden service, etc., they take us and they throw us out. Nobody wants thorns in their garden. So to say, Allah Ta'ala told the thorns, I made you thorns. So you don't worry. And all you do to stay in that beautiful garden, you stay under my roses. As long as you are under my rose, nobody will throw you out. You will have the value of the rose just because you are staying under the thorn. If a lover gives his beloved a rose, then the thorns will also go away. If a person buys a rose for whatever the price might be, he'll pay the price of roses for the thorns also. He won't say, take out the thorns and throw them away, as long as they are under the rose. So just like that, as we are like thorns, we know our condition, in and out. Our thoughts that come to us, our minds are filthy, our hearts are filthy, our namazes are so weak, nothing we can do is correct. We are imperfect in every way. وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَىٰ نَفْسِي إِن تَكِلْنِي إِلَىٰ نَفْسِي تَكِلْنِي إِلَىٰ ضَعْفٍ وَحَمُرَةٍ وَغَمٍ. We are completely. But if we just stay under the roses, under the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah loves the sunnah, and we are just under those roses, Allah, what love He gives to the sunnah, He will give us that love. How honorable the sunnah is in the eyes of Allah, Allah will make us like that. And when we have separated ourselves from the sunnah way of life is not with us today. Today we have detached ourselves from the masajid, we have detached ourselves from the Quran. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. We have separated ourselves from the Quran, from the house of Allah, from the deen of Allah. We are living an alien life, a different lifestyle. Our dressing has changed. Our way of thinking has changed. Everything. Therefore today, what we hear of what is the conditions of the Muslims around the world, then may Allah forgive us, but what we have done. And as we will attach ourselves to the deen of Allah Ta'ala, to the sunnah, to the awamir, the commandments of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then inshallah we will have again value by virtue, by the barakah of the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by the barakah of the Quran Sharif. So Allah Ta'ala makes it in us, makes it to come into us that we love every sunnah. We should make dua for that also, that we love every sunnah. Secondly, that we try and learn sunnats for always. There are various sunnats to be researched, to be done. Various du'as to be recited, actions and practices all the time. And thirdly, of course, to practice upon it. That is the most important. Then also to promote and propagate it within all the limits of our sharia, to promote the sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all tawfiq of them. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haqtab Rahmatullah Alayhi, a great alim and scholar, he explained that sunnat ka tariqah ashal tariqah. The way of sunnah is the most easy way of doing anything. Just a broad example for all of us to understand easy. One is we have a wedding according to our customs and ways. How lot of expenses, how lot of time, and what goes on. And one is a nikah according to sunnah. How simple and easy. And besides that, inna a'azama nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una. Baraka and rahmat in that nikah which is according to sunnah. Second, he says, sunnat ka tariqa ajmal tariqa hai. Sunnah, way of sunnat is the most beautiful way. Anything which is done according to sunnah is the most beautiful lifestyle. We might not understand and appreciate our namaz which is according to sunnah. Though our namaz is, we can say it's according to sunnah by name, but we are still very, very far from that. But even this outward form of the sunnah of namaz, Allahu Akbar. Two friends, it's just an example I'm giving. We don't condone, we oppose TV and video and all that. But just an example that we are giving. Two friends, a Muslim and a non-Muslim, were sitting in America watching live TV. And it was the Haram of Makkah Sharif. And now namaz was going to stand up, start any namaz. So the Muslim friend asked his non-Muslim friend, what do you think that now Salat is going to start, is they going to pray, and the serfs have to be straight. So what do you think about how long should it take to make the serfs straight? Because we know in the Haram before time when we are sitting, people are in their groups, there are halaqat of ta'aleem taking place, The kids' classes are taking place, family groups are sitting around, children are playing and running around, all that. And now for Salah, all the steps have to be straight. So he thought, he said about 15 minutes. He said, remember there are three or four floors of the Haram. He says, in that case, at least perhaps 45 minutes, 1 hour. And when they just said, Sofu, Sufu, Faku, make yourself straight. And all the steps became straight. It was like he couldn't understand this. He accepted Islam on there. So this is the beauty of our namaz, which we don't understand. And we don't appreciate this beauty of our namaz. Now the time is not so much, and it is not really my subject, but since I have come on it, let me just mention it also. In about 79 or so, 1979, we were in driving. It was at Ijtima, and there was a priest who had come from France who accepted Islam. If I remember correctly, his name was Abdul Halim or something like that. So he gave us three very beautiful advices. He said that your namazes, your salat, whenever you have to perform it, like when you are traveling in there, don't hide and perform it. Perform it in public places, at the airports, railway stations, bus stops, wherever. He says, you don't appreciate, you don't understand, but the postures of namaz have got so much of attraction in them. And people get attracted towards namaz. We just take it for granted because we have been doing it all along. But the postures of namaz, and I also personally experienced it a few times, when we had to make namaz and the security at one place, another place, some police were there, they were watching, I didn't know. And they asked, what were you doing? I said, we were praying. He said, but that is just too wonderful. From tonight, every night, I will also do those actions. So namaz has got a great, every sunnah has got a great attraction. Azan, he said secondly, that call your azans out loudly. This azan, Allahumma rabba hadihi da'wati tamma. It is da'wati tamma. And if we call it out properly, then also see the great effect it will have. And the azan also, Allah let us do it according to the sunnah. Sometimes we pull it so long. Like for example, commonly it is Ashhadu Allah, and then also not only long but up and down. Ashhadu Allah, like that. So Maulana Abrar al-Hattab rahmatullah, he says, if your name is Ismail and somebody calls you Ismail, won't you take an offense to that? So Allah's name, and we thinking we're doing a great service of deen and I'm giving a very beautiful azan. But see the rules of it, which Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali explained in Mirqat, that how the azan should be given properly. And Maulana Bralu Haqsaf's mission was that the azan must be according to sunnah in the world. The azan, if we do it properly, and if the muadzin calls out with sincerity for Allah Ta'ala. One riwayat I just came across recently, the muadzin who gives azan for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala gets the reward of a shaheed whose whole body is filled with blood. So much he sacrificed for Allah Ta'ala for azan. So azan is great. The third thing that he told is that your Islamic blessing. We just take it for granted. But he says, you don't understand what attraction this Islamic blessing has got. Anyway, so may Allah give us tawfiq for following all the sunnah and see the beauty that it will draw and bring people close, not close to Islam, will bring them into Islam and they make them more better Muslims than what we are. And there are so many cases, of course there is now not the time, but where just the sunnah has drawn people and brought them into the fold of Islam. Allah give us all tawfiq. So one sunnah I will mention is the sunnah of miswak. We should try and make this a regular feature with our wudu. When we make our wudu, make our miswak also. Miswak inna salata bisiwak. A namaz that we all made maghrib namaz. If those of us who made miswak in that when preparing for the maghrib, or even if it was before that wudu carried on in that, afdalu min sab'ina salah. It is more better than 70 namazes. If you can get something that is the value of it, if you sell it at this time, you do it like this, and the value of it increases by 70, who won't go for that path? And not only equal to, but afdalumi, more better than 70 namazes. Also, from the words of the hadith, Allama ibn Abidin Shami rahmatullah alayh, in his great famous fatawa kitab, writes that the sunnah of miswak will make a person remind him to read kalima-i shahadat عند الموت. At the time of mo, and to read kalima-i shahadat عند الموت. Allahu Akbar. I don't think there's a greater thing we can cherish for, that we die and we read kalima-i shahadat. So Allah give us tawfiq of the sunnah. The ayat al-kareema I recited, the one ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. This nafs of ours, this body of ours, according to some riwayat and tafaseer, Allah Ta'ala has made it very, very balanced. And the balance of it, they explain, for example, that when a child is born, there are no teeth in his mouth. He's born with, sometimes some child is born with one tooth, but normally no teeth. And then when he grows up now, this little milk teeth come. And then after the milk teeth come, they fall off, and then his actual teeth come. And then they come to a certain level, and then they stop growing. They don't grow forever. Now this is Allah Ta'ala, and how Allah made this nafs and this teeth, وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, and how beautifully Allah balanced and made this. If it was left to our logic and our calculation, we should perhaps have thought that when a child is 1 year old, the tooth must be 1 millimeter. 2 years, 2 millimeters. 10 years old, 1 centimeter. And when a boy and girl get married, then they are usually 20, 25, around that age more or less. So the top tooth should have been 2.5 centimeters, and the bottom also. And it is also sunnah that when you want to get married to a girl, she just have a little glance at her, see her. And there's great wisdom in the sunnah also. Don't have to go in all this. Courting is haram. Before making all the love, before nikah, and after nikah start fighting, that's not our tariqah. Our tariqah is an arranged marriage. If a person goes into a love marriage, love blinds a person. You won't be able to see, even if your wife-to-be is the most ugliest woman. If love has blinded you, you will see it's the most beautiful woman. She might be the most dirtiest woman and dirtiest habit she has got. Or the husband might be like that. But if love has blinded you, you won't see it. And you'll fight with your parents, you'll fight with, no, this is the girl I want to marry. And if the girl is in love with the boy, and he's got bad habits, terrible habits, the love, and the parents, if they arrange the marriage, they are not overtaken. They see things as it is. And they have got experience also. That marriage is most successful. So anyway, what was I saying?
See the girl before that marriage.
Yeah, so if you go and see the girl, which is a sunnah also, and your top tooth is 2.5 centimeters and the bottom 2.5, the girl will also think, are my parents getting me married to a human being or to a bulldozer? And no problem, her teeth will also be so big. You'll also wonder, who am I marrying? Am I marrying a bulldozer? Yes, and a female bulldozer. And she'll run from the one door, you'll run from, who is it that brought our teeth to a certain level and kept it at that? And if we observe good eating habits, hygiene of the mouth, miswak again, and all that, our teeth will be, until today it is, go into the rural areas, go into the jungles, they got no orthodontist there, they don't need an orthodontist, Muslim or non-Muslim also, they live naturally until ripe old age, all their teeth are intact, and they don't need braces also. Today we are in such a condition that today our teeth also are not safe. You need burglar bars on the teeth. And that also you pay a heavy price for those burglar bars, just to protect our teeth. And but go there, they don't need no orthodontist. They don't need no dentists, no nothing, and they are living peaceful lives. And if it is coupled with Iman, we think we are living wonderful lives here. We are not living, it's a rat race. We are so absorbed and that veil is so much in front of us that we don't realize what trauma we are going through. All everyone, little children, infants are going through trauma. Everyone is trauma. Counseling for everyone. And also see their stupid ideology that they, after Allah protect us all, but if there's some serious incident, a death in the family, or sometimes something else, a shooting incident, then immediately you need to go for counseling. And it is by law, the employer must arrange for counselors to come and speak to the employees on such a case. Islam has taught us, develop and work on the quality of sabr. And as-sabru inda sadmatil ula. When that's just that difficulty came on you, at that time you made sabr. How much of consolement you feel. And who are you going to fight? There was a shooting incident, there was a motor car accident, there was something else. Who are you going to fight about? It has happened. If you made sabr, you are cool and calm. You are composed. Your composure is in order. You will tell other people remain calm and everything. But if that is not there, now you have to go for counseling, and the counseling doesn't get you anywhere whatsoever. Counseling which is against the teachings of the maker of man, how can that ever benefit a person? So anyway, so Allah tabarak ta'ala has made this nafs in every, our legs, wama sawwaha, how equal the two legs are. If one leg was one foot long, and the other was 1 yard, 1 meter long, and we should all be hopping and walking, how should we be? If one ear was like a pumpkin and the other ear was like the ear of an elephant, how should we have been looking? Everything beautiful. Wa nafsin wa ma sawwaha. And then fa alhamaha hujuraha wa taqwaha. Allah has put in this person now his hujur also, desire of wrong and evil. Somebody will complain, I got too much anger. So, I'm just by nature, so I have to be accepted like that. No, you have to treat yourself. Allah has put it there for you to treat yourself. A person has got too much of lust. Lust for woman, lust for evil, lust for wrong. The person has just got a desire for crime, for robbery and theft. These are things which have been put, and this is the test which Allah has put. And this is why we are gathered here today. And this is why this effort of the tasawwuf and tazkiyah is taking place in the world, so that all of us, we have got weaknesses. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, a great, great wali and scholar, in fact, so he says that every person, kullukum khatta'un, we are all wrong to us. It isn't that I'm sitting here, I'm a big, pious person, holier than thou, and I'm lecturing you people, and I'm pure, I'm clean. Not at all. All of us. In certain gunas, we are all sinful. And somebody has got more higher level of guna, somebody is sin, somebody has got less. Somebody has got this type of a sin, another person has got another type of a sin. Somebody's anger is just out of control. Somebody is so lazy that he just doesn't want to do anything. So, but wrongdoers, sinful, we are all. And we all have to try and work, and we have to help one another. And we have to remind one another that how we can purify ourselves. And this is one thing also which is gone out of us. Today as a husband, I can't tell my wife. She takes offense. As a wife, my wife can't tell me, this is what you are doing wrong. This is what you fight start. Whereas it was a deenul nasiha. Deen was nasiha. That you give one another good advice and you accept it from one another. Try and make every day when we leave our house or any other time in the morning, this dua that, ya Allah, if anyone gives me advice today, I will accept it. And when I have the opportunity of giving somebody, for Allah's sake, not that I'm better than him, if I see he's not doing something right in a nice, suitable way, I will tell him. Today, because we're not doing that, what has set in, the rot that has set in, I see somebody doing wrong, I won't tell him, but I'll go and tell the whole world. And if somebody see me doing wrong, they won't come and tell me. And you don't have to be rude and harsh and blunt with the person, win over his confidence. There is a tariqah and adab of when you want to do amar bil ma'aruf wa nahya anil munkar in a nice, suitable way, win his confidence, win his love, then in a nice way you tell him without publishing him and without anyone knowing. But today it's gone on the group, the person. It's on the WhatsApp, the whole world knows. And we don't tell the person what benefit. All we did was aggravated and got guna of ribat. And of all the evil, we didn't correct the matter. Had we told him in a nice way, nobody should know, he corrects himself, and that is what is the object. That he has now also corrected. So this is very, very important that we tell one another. So this nafs of ours, all of ours, and everyone has got nafs. If anyone thinks I have got nafs, he hasn't got like you have. And nafs is going to be there. And nafs is there that it will remain right till the end of our life. Till the last moment when the breath goes out, our nafs is there. And this nafs is always, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. He says, I don't say I'm free of my nafs. A Nabi of Allah. And what a test he passed. And more than distinctions, he passed the test. But he says, I am not free of my nafs. Inna nafsa la'ammaratum bisu. Nafs is ammara, not amara bisu. It is mubalagha. Continuously it is telling you, bisu, do this evil, do that evil. Nafs is there all the time. So we have to work. And then when we work on this nafs, gradually it becomes nafsa lawwama. That still we will do wrong. But we will taunt ourselves. You are so bad. You don't make your salat on time. How are you making your namaz? Just up, down. You are up and down. You are just making your namaz fast. This you are doing wrong. You got this. You don't treat anyone well. How you speak to people, you will taunt yourself. Then if you carry on still with your effort, it will become now nafse mutmainna. And then fortunately for Allah, make us all in that group. And it be said to us, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna. That is the greatest. No, becoming a president of a country and becoming the richest man, knowing all the technology and having all the things of, cannot equal when it will be said, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna. That is the greatest success. So this is why we are gathered here, that we all are ill, we are all sick. And the first thing in order to improve and get treatment is when a person acknowledges I am sick. If a person does not acknowledge I am good, and I have to tell everyone, may make them good, then there won't be any goodness that will come, not for me, not for anyone else. But if we all understand that I have got weaknesses, and I have to remedy these weaknesses. So that is the first thing, اعتراف الزنوب, that we admit. Allahu Akbar. When the ayat kareemah was revealed, وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ At the time of suhur, sehri, tahajjud time, those people who are making istighfar, crying to Allah for forgiveness. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, asked Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are these people? Are these the people who rob and steal, who commit adultery, who do all other evil? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, no, these are those people who make ibadat the whole night. And now on the ibadat they are asking for forgiveness that we couldn't do our ibadat properly. We are said that we commit open sins and whole sins. We are factories of sin, and we don't even think of asking for forgiveness. Our eyes are not under control. Our tongue is not under control. If we have to ask our wives, that how do we treat them? How do we speak to them? What big complaints won't we get? And we never think also of asking for forgiveness. From them also, where is huququl ibad also, and huququl nas. For Allah Ta'ala also we have to ask for forgiveness. So, اعتراف الذنوب, that we admit our wrongs. And then we taunt ourselves that you have done this wrong, you have done that wrong, you are so terrible. And then the determination, which we call tawbah, not to commit that sin again. At that time we have this full determination, I will never ever commit that sin again. This is a different thing. Even if at that time you know, I am so weak, I will commit the sin again. But you determine, I am not going to commit it. So much is enough for your tawbah to be correct. And then whoever's huquq upon us, the right, start fulfilling those huquq. So when we do that, now we will be changing a new leaf. And Allah is so kind with regard to this. For example, a person hasn't got a sunnah beard, but he realizes I'm doing wrong. And he makes tawbah and istighfar. By tawbah and istighfar, immediately his beard is not going to start growing. He's not going to have a sunnah beard. That will take its course. But he's out of the guna. Though the beard is still not there. But now he stopped shaving his beard. He stopped cutting it wrongly. He's out of that sin. Though he is, so to say, still in the sin. But he's out of the sin. He has made tawbah. So merciful. So merciful is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that if a person can't cry when he's asking for forgiveness, Allah ta'ala has said, just pretend and make your face like a crying person. Allah told us to do it. And Allah knows you are pretending. He told us pretend. And he said, that also I will accept. Whereas we, if it is my child, my worker, my wife, and they make like they are crying, we will get more angry. You're still pretending here. You're not genuine in your cry. But Allah told us you pretend. And that is also enough for me. I will accept that also. So this is what is tazkiyah, purification. That we, our bad habits that we have, we learn to acknowledge. My salat is not in order. My 5 times salat. And if it is 5 times, is it with takbir-e-ula, which is a necessity? Think of a person goes to work, every day he goes late. The boss is going to have big problems with it. We come for salah, and every salah we are missing 1 rakat, 2 rakats or so. How is that? And sometimes we just make it before the imam makes salam. It is like going to work just before the closing time. The shop closes at 5 o'clock, we came to work at 5 to 5. And we expect the pay of the whole day. Allah still pays us. There is nobody like Allah. Allah's mercy, Allah's kindness, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So for that, Allah Ta'ala reward all our great elders who come and make this effort. Haji Ahmed Nakhudasa, Damat Barakatum, who's got Madinatul Munawwara. But South Africa and in Haji Sahib's heart, faith is very dear. And how can we all come and make our Islam and gain the fadl and the rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and gain His great mercies. Allah ta'ala's mercy is so great that if we make the 2 rivers of tears to flow from our eyes, Allah will make the rains, yursili sama alaykum midrara. Allah will send torrents of rain, good beneficial rains for us. So we have to turn to Allah, and Allah Ta'ala will make us heed and make our dunya also. Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba. Allah will give that person hayatan tayyiba. So we have to make rujuk in Allah. We have to turn back and go to Allah. That is what is tazkiyah. Tazkiyah is not just getting together and making some dhikr, dhikrullah, or some muraqabah, etc. But it is to bring this change in our lives. That is what is really this tazkiyah. And we can't do it on our own. We need the help of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. It is not being the fadl. And fadl is that which Allah gives to you which you don't deserve. You didn't work for it. For example, you hired 4 or 5 laborers to do a certain job for you. I'll pay you 200 rand each. When one person was with them, not working, you didn't hire him also. And he's talking with them and hampering their work, not letting them work. He's on the cell phone and giving them cell phone. You also speak here, you also speak here. But time for pay, he also comes and stands in the line. I also must get my... Who in the world will pay him? How angry won't we get? But Allah is that being, that person also, Allah says, you also take. You are with them, you also take. As Maulana Dawood Sahib, Dhamad Barakatum explained, this is that gathering, that if a person came here, he didn't come for the cause of the tazkiyah. He came here just to give a key to somebody, to give a message to somebody. When Allah says, قُومُوا مَغْفُورَ لَكُمْ, get up, all of you are forgiven. Malaika say, but that person came, you have forgiven him also. And he didn't even come for this gathering. He just came for some other work of his or whatever. Allah Ta'ala says, هُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يُشْقَى بِهِمْ شَلِيسٌ. These are such people, whoever just associate with them, I do their work for them also. So if we will stick with this group and we see to our tazkiyah, have our majalis regularly, where talks of this tazkiyah, where the Shaykh himself also realizes, I also need this tazkiyah till my mort. Every murid also realizes, we stick to this, Allah Ta'ala will do our work. That this person is persistent, week in and week out, he's coming and he's attending the program and he wants his tazkiyah and he's crying, I'm not really, and don't think we are not benefiting. Many a person who has attended such gatherings for years, he says, I'm still just where I am. No, it is not like that. Like you have a piece of ground or anything that is dirty, very dirty. When you start washing it, then you see that certain parts which are dirty, which you couldn't see, now they are showing up. Before, because of all the other dust around or whatever, that very dirty things you couldn't even make it out. Now you say, oh, I'm 5 years doing my tazkiyah, and still all this dirt, now you are seeing the dirt. Before it was there and you were not seeing it. And that is a worse thing. Until a person is in denial, the person doesn't benefit. When a person accepts, I've got this bad habit, I've got that bad habit, every person might be thinking, I'm the best husband. But go and ask the wife and get the report from the wife whether I am the best husband or what. Then we will realize where we stand. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, reward our akabir and our mashayikh who come and make effort upon us and they try and bring us closer towards Allah Ta'ala. And this tazkiyah is that far that we might have salat in our lives and we have got dhikrullah in our lives and we have got tilawat of Quran Sharif in our lives. But what is this tazkiyah, this purification? It is the connection with Allah Ta'ala. A simple example by which hopefully all of us can understand. We have got a wonderful dish, food prepared, whatever it might be, biryani, whatever it might be. But they didn't put the salt in there. Now when the people are sitting, though they are hungry, when they want to eat, the one will say, I had a late breakfast. The other one will say, I've got a running tummy, I can't eat, I don't want to eat. But just add the salt, and before you know what, perhaps the pot also won't be there. They eat everything up. Just like that, our salat is there, but add the salt of the connection of Allah. One is a salah, that our body is here, but our hearts are not here. We are traveling the whole world around. We are thinking about any and everything in the world. Our bodies are here, but we not in salah. Hey, that is one kind of a, and one is that salah that we perform. One salah, Allah Ta'ala Himself says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. خَاشِعُونَ, that they have got that tawajju إِلَى Allah. And another salah, Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, wail for the Muslims, destruction for the Muslims. And Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So just this connection, this is all what is the soul. Just to make that connection. One is a person reads one khatam of Quran Sharif, whole, that the Jews he recites. And one he reads, that this is the kalam of my Rabb. Just say, these are the words of my Rabb. And what release he reads, one page he reads, and how much he has gone to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, that we understand what this great work of tasawwuf, where we need our madaris, where ta'aleem takes place. Without the knowledge of deen, they can't be deen. It can be bid'at, it can be khurafat, it can be anything else, but without proper knowledge, ilm is sahih, fahm is sahih, and amal is sahih. That we have to have. So that is from our Darul Ulooms. And mashallah, we have got our Darul Ulooms around here also, and where the proper deen is being taught. And the proper knowledge and the proper understanding of that knowledge. Just to give an example of that, if a person is eating food and he says, give me water. Well, in what will we give water? In a glass, a tumbler. We will give him water. He's asking for water. And if he is going to the toilet, and he says, give me water. The same words. Now in what will we give him water? In a jug. The words are the same, but the understanding. The person who was present at that time, he will know that when he's eating, give him water in a glass. Not in a whole big jug that he must drink from a jug. And when he wants to go to the toilet, then he will understand, now don't give him water in a glass. Give him water in a jug. Just like that. To understand the deen and what is taught in our Darul Ulooms, where the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were present, they understood what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained of the Quran, his practical life. And in here also, look at the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his whole life's practice. The Quran Sharif, don't take one ayat out and say this is the meaning. No, see what is the teaching of the whole Quran and understand that ayat in the light of the whole Quran. Don't put the whole Quran one side and we only take that one ayat and this is what Allah is saying here. No, see, the lives of our elders, don't take one practice of what they say or one word which they say, but see it in the light of their whole life. So the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, how he ate, his topi he wore, everything of his. Don't look for one hadith which was a special occasion for some reason. And now you want to practice on that one hadith and you put his whole lifestyle of sunnah one side. No, follow that whole. So this is our Darul Ulooms where they will teach us. Then we have got this great work of tabligh and da'wah. It is also for our deen. And what great changes have come in the world. How people have changed their lives. And they made their children ulama, huffaz, qurra. They established Darul Ulooms. Like that is the work of tazkiyah also. And in four ayats of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has referred to these four types of work that is required of all of us. There's three types of work. Ta'aleem, tazkiyah, tazkiyah and tarbiyah, and tabligh and da'wah. So may Allah give us tawfiq that we, and whoever can do all of it, alhamdulillah. Who can't manage to do all, don't criticize any other department. Everyone is doing, and they're doing it in their way. How much we can do, we do also. In criticizing is not going to get us anywhere. Most of us, somebody, we say that the Jamaat goes and work in that country. So much work is needed here. So you do the work here. Why are you wasting your time criticizing them? You start working here and you do the work here. Or that there they are doing madrasa work, makatib work in that country. We need so many makatib. Let them carry on, they're doing good work and you start here. Don't really stop that work also. But this criticizing, we want to bring a stop to the work of deen. And that is very bad. We should not be part and parcel of that. We have to establish the deen and save ourselves from all the types of sin. Ya Aba Huraira, ittaqil maharim takun a'bad an-nas. You stay away from guna, you will be the person who makes the most ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Our Shaykh explains it so beautifully. He says there is no boss of a company or any shop or anything who will tell his worker, don't work and I will give you the most wages. But Allah Ta'ala says, don't work. What work you mustn't do? Haram work. That is also all work, all whatever is haram. Just stay away from haram. And Allah says, you will be abada. I will give you the most riches. Just by staying away from haram. In one narration it comes, لَتَرْكُ ذَرَّةٍ مِّمَّا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. To give up one mustard seed of what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden us from doing, أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الثَّقَلَيْنِ. It is more better than the ibadat of all the jinn and men put together. Mm-hmm. There is kalam on the riwayat, but it is a fact. The reality is there. To give up one bit of sin is more better than the ibadat of all the jinn and men together. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, let us understand these realities, work towards this. We are all complaining, and one Babri Masjid is not that it's gone. It is my own house is gone. A masjid is more dearer to a Muslim than his own home also. And how much do we feel it? Ask ourselves. There's one decision that has been made, that it must be given to the Hindus for a temple. We should feel it. My house has been taken away. And Allah's house must be more dearer to me than my house. How much of us have made dua for this? Are we concerned about this? The Muslims in Kashmir, in Syria, what a sad condition. We have to make dua. And everywhere, whether it is China, whether it is the Rohingya Muslims, whether it is the Muslims in Mali, which nobody talks about also, and what difficulties they are going through, all this, the main thing, it is our actions that we have done. What you kama tadino tudano, as we do, so we get in return also. We have to turn every one of us to try and correct myself, then Allah will correct the conditions of the nation and of the world. But if we are not worried, we're just carrying on with our life as it is. Allahu Akbar. In one place, I would stop with this inshallah. There is the first watch that is back, Mona. Otherwise, all watches are front. So the Muqarris can stop in good time. So anyway, one place where there were riots and Muslims were massacred in there. Relief workers went there. And then they decided, one masjid they entered in a village. And Adhan was going Maghrib. So they said, we'll make namaz here. By the time they entered Takbir, Iqama, they performed the Salah. When they came out quickly, they were on their mission, doing their mission, their relief work. They found Muslim men and women sitting outside the masjid, listening to music, talking to one another, and not worried. And the massacre took place there with them just now. But this is how we have become so indifferent. We just don't worry. Worry about the Muslims in the world. What is happening? How many ulama, just because they spoke the truth, they are in torture cells. What their families are going through. What they are going through. How many Muslims are in so much of difficulty just because I am a Muslim. Today our crime is that I am a Muslim. That is the crime. And we have got the greatest power. Allah is on our side. We just have to turn to Allah and wean Allah Ta'ala's favors over. And this will come. Allah says, wa'afu anna. That is, O Allah Ta'ala, umhu athara dhunubina. Completely destroy all the evidence of our gunas. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا بِسَتْرِ الْقَبِيحِ وَإِذْهَارِ الْجَمِيلِ. And forgive us all our gunas. وَرْحَمْنَا تَفَضَّلْ عَلَيْنَا بِفُنُونِ الْآلَىٰ مَعَا إِسْتِخْفَاتِنَا بِعْفَانِينِ الْحَارِ. When we will do that, فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. When we have come right, Allah's help will come for us against the non-believers. Otherwise, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. We use some wrongdoers to punish the other wrongdoers. And they say, we got no country is our enemy, no nation is our enemy, our sons are our enemy. Whatever Allah uses a nation, Allah uses a country because of our wrongdoing. Allah give us tawfiq, that this tazkiyah and islah we make, and all these gunas which have become smartphone, video, TV, all intermingling of sexes, music, is the order of the day everywhere. Now all the parties that are going to take place, matric balls, in the parties in the offices and in the workplaces, the Christmas and New Year, that we behave like non-Muslims like with them. The holiday and festive season, we also just get involved like we are not Muslims and we're doing any and everything. Easter will be coming and we get involved in all. May Allah let us keep our identity. We are Muslims. We are followers of Sayyidul Anbiya, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah guide us on that path, and we make dua for our elders who come and guide us and teach us. And let us also build a relationship with them, and by thereby correcting our lives, not just superficial, but by which we bring the reality of deen into our lives. May Allah give me and us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.